Okay, good morning. We've got Masechet Pesachim, Daf Yudalid. Get ready for some fun. We're getting into Tum'ah and Tahara territory. Basically, why are we getting into this? Because when we have to burn the Hametz, we have to burn Terumah as well. And so Terumah can be Tahor, in which case it would be able to be in, but now because Hametz, it can't. But there's also Terumah that's Tameh. But that can't be in because it's Tameh and it's going to be Chametz now. So the question is, when we burn the Terumah, do we have to burn them separately, the Tahor and the Tameh, or can we put them together? When we put them together, then the one that's Tahor is going to become Tameh, which is a problem. We don't want to make Terumah that is edible and turn it into Tum'ah. We want to keep it holy. But in this case, it's not going to be edible anyway, because we're burning it all. So does it matter while we're burning it that to mix everything together, or does it need to be kept separate? Okay, that's how we're getting into this. But while we're speaking about this, we're going to talk about a lot of different applications of mixing together Tum'ah and Tahara and all the different levels. So this is actually one of the major sources for the general rules of Tum'ah and Tahara. So it's worth spending a little time to introduce it. It's a little technical and somewhat complex, but I think once you get the basic rubric, it should flow pretty easily. All right, the basic structure is that it's kind of like a bad copy machine. You have an original, and every time you make a copy, it gets lighter and lighter, right? Until at some point, it's so light that no matter how many copies you make, it's not gonna do anything. So too, regarding Tum'ah, we have six different levels. I'm gonna show you in the Gemara has a nice chart down here. So let's look at this chart for a couple minutes. Okay, we classify levels of Tum'ah in terms of family. So we have Avi Avota Tum'ah. This is like the grandfather of all Tum'ah is a human corpse. Okay, so that can make anything that comes into contact with the corpse will itself become Tameh. Since this is the grandfather, anything it touches becomes Av HaTumah, the father of Tumah. So father of Tumah can be by touching a corpse or a leper, a Zav, a dead mouse, or a Nevela. Okay, we could use dead mouse as a good example. Now, if you have something that's an Av HaTumah and that touches something else, person, food, vessel, or food, that becomes Rishon, meaning a child. They have the father, so this is the child. That's called Rishon LeTum'ah. So anything that touches that. Now, for most items, that's the last thing. It can only become Rishon LeTum'ah. That's for people and vessels. That's the most it can become Rishon. But food is more susceptible to Tum'ah. So if a Rishon touches food or liquid, that food or liquid becomes Sheni LeTum'ah, a grandchild. And so that's the end for most food. Regular food that everyone will eat, called holin, non-sacred food, it can become sheni and no more. But there's a principle. The holier something is, the more susceptible it is to tum'ah. So therefore, terumah, which has a degree of holiness, only a kohen can eat it. If second degree sheni touches terumah, food or liquid, that becomes shilishi. That's the end game for terumah. When something reaches the end, that it can no longer be contagious to something else, it's called not only tameh, but also pasul, a special word called pasul. So it itself is tameh, but no longer contagious. However, the even shilishi can, if it touches kodesh, animal food from an animal that was a sacrifice, then kodesh meat can become even a revi'i, letum'ah, and then that's the end, right? There's nothing further after the VE. The holiest thing, sacrificial food, gets this last degree of tum'ah. All right, that is the general principle. There are some exceptions, some derabanan overlays. We're going to see some of them. Here's just a couple. This is what I just mentioned. The lowest level, when something's on the lowest level and cannot make anything else tameh, we call that pasul. It's kind of like someone who is on antibiotics for 24 hours. They are sick, but they can't make anybody else sick. There are some opinions that say food does not transmit past Rishon in general. Liquid is a lot more, transmits a lot more easily than food. So some say food does not transmit past Rishon. Some say even liquid transmits only Dirabanan. Some say it's Doraita. We're going to see that. And here's a very important rule that's counterintuitive. Just like with the bad copy machine, sometimes you could take a very light copy and you put it on a extra setting, extra strong setting, and you can actually make the light one darker. So there is a case where it can jump up, and that is regarding liquids. Seems to be only, this is only the Dabanan, that a liquid, let's say a liquid is shilishi, right? It's a low level, it's touched by a sheni. So now the liquid actually becomes Rishon, right? Usually if I touch something, then that gets a lower level. In this case, by being touched by something, it actually is more Tameh than the thing that touched it. So that's a special law regarding liquids. It seems to be a drabanan to protect Tiruma especially. Okay, with all that in mind, I think we are ready to begin the Mishnah. This is a very old Mishnah. It's also found in Masechet Eduyot. And so this comes right out of the time of the Beit HaMikdash, describing what they would do. Rabbi Chanina Segan HaKohanim Omer, Mimehem Shel Kohanim Lo Nimne'o Melisrof Et HaBasar Shenitma Bivlad HaTuma Im HaBasar Shenitma Be'av HaTuma Af Al Pi Shemosifin Tuma Al Tumato. So Rabbi Chanina, he was the vice Kohen Gadol. If the Kohen Gadol was incapacitated, he would take over. And he is testifying that during the time of the Beit HaMikdash, when he was there, they never prevented themselves from burning together different levels, if it's just a little bit of a different level, of sacrificial meat. So sacrificial meat that was nitma bivlad hatuma. In other words, vlad hatuma is a rishon. So therefore, something that touched a rishon would be a sheni. So if you have meat that's sheni l'tuma, and they would mix it together and burn it together with basad that became tameh from an avhatuma. So avhatuma, something that touched that is a rishon. So now we have meat that's sheni and meat that's rishon, and they would burn them together, even though the one that's sheni is now going to get more tameh by touching the rishon. Doesn't matter, they didn't care about that, and they put them all together. The Gemara is going to ask a question here. If I take Rishon and put some Sheni next to it, what happens? Well, anything that the Rishon touches becomes Sheni. So the Sheni actually doesn't get any more Tameh by being with Rishon, right? Maybe it's just not nice to do, but it doesn't actually add anything. All right, that's what the Gemara is going to ask. Now, Rabbi Akiva, later on, adds another level. He says, furthermore, Hosif Rabbi Akiva v'amar, mi mehem shel kohanim, lo nimnu mid lehadlik et hashemen, shenifsal bitvul yom, bener shenitma bitme met, af al pi shemosifin tum'a, al tum'ato. So if you have shemen, that's tiruma that becomes tameh, kohen can't eat it, but he can burn it, and he can derive benefit from it. He can put it in his lamp. Let's say you have some oil that's became tameh. It touched a tvul yom. Tvul yom is someone that was tameh. He went to the mikveh. He's waiting for sunset, so he's kind of an in-between status. He's considered like a sheni. So a tvul yom touches oil. That oil becomes shilishi. Now, if I put that oil, that shilishi, into a lamp, and the lamp touched a tememet. Tememet is a av. So something it touches is a rishon. So now I have oil that's shilishi and a lamp that is rishon. And yet they said, that's fine. I can put that oil in the lamp, even though when the oil touches the lamp, it's going to become sheni. So I'm making the oil more tameh. He says, even that's fine. So in the first case of Rabbi Chanina, they're one step away, and he allows it because that was a one and a two. That was a two and a three. And here he says, even a one and a three, even though it's two steps away, that's also okay. Good. That's the second step. Now, Rabbi Meir, Amar Rabbi Meir, midivrehem lamadnu, shesorfin tiruma tehora, im teme'a ba pesach. And so Rabbi Meir says, oh, see what we learned from here? They were able to mix together different levels of tum'ah, and they burned them all together, whether it was korban meat or whether it was oil that was tiruma, put them together. So now we can learn that in our time also, we can take terumah that's tahor and terumah that's tameh, but they're both prohibited to eat because it's chametz. And we know what? We'll mix it together and we can burn it. That's Rabbi Meir, who's lenient. Amar Rabbi Yoseh, enam min hamidah. But Rabbi Yoseh says, that's not the same, because in the two examples above, you have something that is a little bit tameh, and you mix it with something that's more tameh. So it's different levels of tumah, but they're all tameh. That doesn't mean that I can take something tahor and burn it together with something tameh, right? Just because I can make something more tameh doesn't mean that I can take something that was tahor and turn it into tameh. That's a bigger chidush, and so we don't know that. However, they would agree to the follow. Umodim Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua says surfin zol atzma vezol atzma alma nechleku ala tiluya vala tameha. Rabbi Eliezer omer tisaref zol atzma vezol atzma, Rabbi Yoshua omer shetehen ka'achat. So in fact, everyone agrees that if you have tirumah, it becomes chametz. If it's tahor and tameh, you have to burn them separately. The only question that they did have is, what about tiluya? Tirumah, I'm not sure. It's a doubtful status. And I have others that's for sure tameh. Can I mix those together? The Eliezer says, even those you have to separate. So according to the Eliezer, you have to have three piles on Erev Pesach of Terumah, that which is Tahor, that which you're not sure about, and that which is for sure Tameh. Whereas Rabbi Yoshua says, you can put the doubtful one together with the Tameh one and burn those together. That is the end of the Mishnah. All right, let's just look at our outline here. So we saw the Mishnah has two cases. Rabbi Chanina, who says you can burn a sheni with a rishon, right? And so even though you're mixing them together, that's permitted. And Rabbi Akiva says, I can burn a shilishi with a rishon. So that's a bigger chidush. And then we apply that to terumah, and we try to see, this should be Rabbi Eliezer, sorry. Right, Rabbi Yoseh says that you can burn them together. Rabbi Meir says, no, it depends. Okay, we'll get to this. Don't worry about the application to terumah just yet. All right, so we're going to focus on these first two here. And the question that we're going to have is, Rabbi Chanina, what's your chidush? You said you can mix together sheni with rishon. Well, if rishon touches sheni, it remains sheni. So it's not increasing its tumah level. So what's the big deal, right? So therefore, we're going to have to reinterpret his case to be talking about a shilishi with a rishon. And then we'll try to figure out, wait, we have a general principle that food does not make food impure. So what are we even talking about? Well, we have three opinions about when food does and does not make food impure. And so we'll be able to solve that. All right, let's focus on this. And then once we do that, then we'll turn to Rabbi Akiva and ask a similar question about him. Okay, good. Michedi basar shenitma bivlad hatuma may have. Your first case, Rabbi Chanina, you talked about meat that touched a rishon. Vlad hatuma is the same thing as saying rishon. So what is if it touches rishon? Now it's a sheni. Now what are you burning it with? Sarif le behade basar shenitma be'av hatuma may have sheni. And you took some other meat that touched av, so that becomes, right? So that becomes that was a rishon. Now, if that rishon touches a sheni, it stays sheni. So the sheni is only touching a rishon and still remains sheni. So you're not increasing the level of tumah. So why would anybody think it's a problem to put rishon together with sheni? Sheni v'sheni hu, may mosif lo tumah al tumato ika? Okay, that's the question. Answer. Amar Rav Yehuda, hacha bivlad vlad askinan. We have to reinterpret the Mishnah, and it must be talking about not a second degree, but rather a third degree, a shilishi. If we put together a rishon and a shilishi, then when they touch, the shilishi is going to become a sheni. And that is not good. We can't take something that was a shilishi, a lower level of tumah, and make it sheni, which is a higher level of tumah. Okay, if it helps to look at it in a picture, we had meat that was a rishon, and another piece of meat that was a sheni. If I put them together, well, this meat is going to contaminate this one, but it's going to remain sheni. So I'm not increasing. So instead, he reinterprets and says, I have a meat that's a rishon. I put it together with meat that's shilishi. When they touch, then this meat becomes sheni, and that's why it's a problem. Okay, good. The original source in the Mishnah might actually be talking about this case. And he said, you know, even though it's kind of not nice to put different levels together, maybe that's why they did it, because it doesn't actually make it worse. But the Bavli maybe wants to be a little bit more lenient and say you can even take this 1 and 3 and mix them together. All right, so that works. But now we have a side question on this. We have a principle, v'ha'en ochel metameh ochel. Food cannot make other food tameh. We think it does, but there are opinions that say it doesn't, so we have to account for them. Detanya, yachol yehe ochel metameh ochel, tamud lomar, v'chi utan mayim al zera v'nafam nivlatam alav, tameh hu tameh ve'en oseh kayoseh bo tameh. Pasuk talks, very important pasuk talks about if water falls, you put water on food, what if food becomes wet, and then that food touches nevela, then it becomes tameh, the food becomes tameh. So we derive from this, all the food becomes tameh in itself, but it cannot transmit that tum'ah to other things. It only receives. So it becomes tameh, but food does not make anything else tameh. All right, this is basically true for cholin, right? For regular food, it doesn't make anything else tameh. So in this case, you have food. This is meat and meat. And so why should one piece of meat make anything else tameh? So therefore, put all the food together, because you won't have any problem with that in any case. All right, so we're going to have to answer. This was a braita, but this braita is subject to a couple of different interpretations. Hanicha le'abaye, damar lo shenu ela becholin, aval betrumah v'kod bekadashim, oseh kayoseh bo. That big chart that I showed you before, that's the opinion of Abaye. Abaye says that food that's cholin cannot make anything else tameh. But if it touches tiruma or kodashim, then it does go down another level. Sheni, shilishi, revi'i. So that's what we're talking about. This is kodesh food. Okay. And ulerav adah bar ahava mishime derava nameh de'amar. Okay, I just want to correct something. The nevela is something it touches becomes a. Okay, forget that. Okay, Rav Adah takes out tiruma. He thinks tiruma is the same as chulin, but kodashim, he does think that food can make other food tameh with kodashim. So that's also, we can understand how he would explain the Mishnah. We're talking about 1 and 3, even though it's food, it's kodesh food. And so therefore the food will make the other food tameh. Ela l'ravina mishme derava. There's two opinions in the name of Rava, but his opinion says dama mikra maledi berakatuv. He takes the pasuk as is, as it says in that baraita, and says it applies to all food. Lo shena cholin, la shena teruma, la shena kodashim. Food never makes other food tameh. Eno se kayose ba bo. So what would you say? What could be the problem in taking meat that was rishon with meat that shilishi? Food does not make a food tameh. So then what's the chidush that they burnt them together? Answer is, this meat must have been not dry, but it had liquid with it. It was in some gravy, and it's the liquid that served as the transmitter and everyone agrees that liquid will transmit from one to the other. Okay, so that's what it was talking about. But the Mishnah doesn't say that. Mishnah says with meat, food, right? I should have said food and drink, if you meant also drink. Ela nehi de'en ochel metameh, ochel medeoraita, medrabanan mihu metameh. Okay, we reject that. It really is only food. But these levels of tuma are medrabanan. So that pasuk is correct. But that was only talking about the oraita level. But medrabanan, it does add. So according to the first opinions, it could be doraita. But according to the last opinion of Ravina, this would only be the rabanan. But the Mishnah still makes sense. All right, now we resolved that problem of Rabbi Chanina. He only said one step originally. He said two and one, so we made it 3 and 1. But now we have that at least triggers the next problem. Rabbi Akiva is adding something more, a bigger chidush than Rabbi Chanina said. So if Rabbi Chanina now was two steps away, 3 and 1, then that means Rabbi Akiva, he also said 3 and 1. So that's the same thing. Why is he repeating the same thing? He's got to add another step. So we have to figure out a way that he's saying that something is going to be 3 steps away. And then when it touches, I'm making it 2 more steps tameh. So how is he going to figure out a case like that? As follows, using metal. Hosif Rabbi Akiva mehem shakonim amlim hadlik. Mikadi shemen shenifsa betul yom, I have eshilishi. Tul yom is always a sheni. 40 touches a shilishi. V'chi madlik lebener shenitma betmemet mayhave sheni. And when you take the oil and put it into the lamp itself touched av. So the av, so the lamp itself is rishon. So I take the lamp that's rishon and the oil that's shilishi. I put the oil in the lamp, it becomes sheni. That's only 1 step worse. But we already had that case. So that's not anymore. My kamash malan shilishim mutala soto sheni. Hainu hach. We already learned from Rabbi Chanina that you're allowed to take a third level and make it sheni, and that's the same thing. Answer: Amar Rav Yehuda, hacha bener shel matechet askinan. We're talking about a metal lamp, and metal has special properties. It's just like it transmits electricity very well. So too tum'ah, and we learn it from pasuk that Rachamana amad. Bahalal chereb, chereb harehu kahalal, bavyale av hatum'ah, a special law regarding metal, because the pasuk talks about a corpse that was killed by sword. So the sword, which is made out of metal, and the corpse are have an equality. And therefore, if I touch a corpse and then I touch a piece of metal, so if I touch a corpse, I'm av hatum'ah. If I touch metal, the metal is also avatuma, right? This is one case where when I touch something, it doesn't go lower, but actually receives the same level. And therefore, the Mishnah spoke about a lamp that touched an avatuma, so it doesn't become rishon. If it's metal, a metal lamp that touches avatuma remains avatuma. And now that's how we have 3 levels away. Avatuma with a shilishi, right? That would be 3 levels away. If I put the oil in the lamp, then that third level shilishi oil becomes rishon. And that's Rabbi Akiva's chidush. I'm even allowed to go up 2 levels in order when I'm burning them together. Because avad shilishi mutar lasot rishon. I'm making the third degree into a first degree. All right, good. So we have a good answer for Rabbi Akiva. We're wondering if we could have had a simpler answer. Simpler answer is as follows. It could just be a regular lamp made out of cheres, in which case it would be it touched something that touched a dead body, so that would just be a rishon. And so what is it? What are you adding? What chidush is Rabbi Akiva adding to what Rabbi Chanina said? There is a chidush. Dilu hatam tameh v'tameh. Dilu hacha pasul v'tameh. When Rabbi Chanina was talking about his case, and we said that that's talking about a shilishi with rishon, regarding meat, shilishi can still become yet more tameh, right? So less tameh, I'm making it more tameh. But shilishi can even become revi'i, potentially, so it's still contagious. So that's all Rabbi Chanina said. Rabbi Akiva, who's talking about tiruma, and he says, shilishi in tiruma is the last level. It's no longer contagious. It can't make anything else tameh. And therefore it's pasul. And so his chidush could be, I'm taking something that was pasul and I'm making it into tameh. I'm taking something that was not contagious and stepping it up. So even though it's still 1 and 3, right? And I'm only making it 1 degree more tameh, but that 1 degree is actually taking it from not contagious to contagious. And so that could actually be his chidush. And that would work well. Rabbi Akiva is still adding another chidush to what Rabbi Chanina said. So why not say it that way? Rava answers, Amar Rava, matnitin kishiteh, mai idya detaneh ner shenitma bitmemet, if you look at the Mishnah carefully, it actually says a lamp that became tameh by touching a tameh met, someone who touched a corpse. So it uses that example specifically. It could have used as an example. It could have used a dead mouse, which is also avatuma. But here's the thing, regarding metal, it gets that status of avatuma if it touches something else that is temeh met, not by touching a sheretz. So therefore, he's inferring from that detail in the Mishnah that this is in fact the case. But I mean, you're right, that case also would be okay according to the Bi'akiba. Okay. Ela ezu davar shechalukat tumato ben tumat met l'sheretz, what does make a difference that if it touches tumat met or sheretz, haveomer ze matechet, metal is the only thing that retains the same status of av when it touches tumat met, but not sheretz, and that's why he likes that answer. Okay, good. So we solved that problem for Rabbi Akiva. We just want to resolve now one other tangent for him. And this relates to something that we're going to see on the bottom of the next daf. There's a machloket there about liquids. Do liquids transmit midoraita or midirabanan? So we're going to derive from here. Amar Avashma minakasabar Rabbi Akiva tumat mashkin letame acharim deoraita. Must be he thinks it's deoraita in this case. Why? Why do we think it has to be deoraita? Okay, so as follows. Ti salka da'atech d'rabanan, mikedi, hai ner, maika mahanya lehai shemen, ili ifsule gufe, ha pasil veka'e. I'm going to read the whole thing because we really need the end to understand this. Mimai, dilma letame acharim midrabanan. Hold on, how do you know storaita? Maybe it is in fact d'rabanan. Imidrabanan, mai iria be'avatuma, afilu berishon veshini name techila have, ditnan, kol haposel et hatiruma metameh mashkin leyot techila chutz mitevul yom. Okay, there's a Mishnah in Masechet Para that gives us this principle that regarding liquids have, as I said before, that special ability that if a sheni touches a shilishi that's a liquid, the shilishi jumps up and becomes a rishon, right? Anything that's posel tiruma, meaning anything that's a sheni, actually makes mashkin, turns them into techila, turns them into a rishon, except for tevul yom. That's an exception to this exception, even though he's a sheni. Okay, don't worry about that, right? So now, since we know that anything that is a sheni makes liquid into rishon, so then I could talk about this case being even a clay lamp that is a rishon, right? And any, or even a sheni, if it touches liquid, if it touches oil, then it automatically becomes rishon. All this is midrabanan. So therefore, the Bi'akiva would not be telling us anything interesting or anything new if the tuma is only midrabanan, if liquid only transmits midrabanan. Why? Because remember, what was his case? I have a lamp, and the lamp is rishon. He said av, but even if you just say rishon, right? And that lamp is rishon. It touches liquid. Now, that liquid, what's going to happen to it? It's going to touch a lamp that's rishon and become sheni. No, but actually midrabanan, all liquid that touches anything above it becomes a rishon. So what's going to happen in his case, in the case that we just said? Rabbi Akiva says it's a lamp that's metal. Okay, that's av. And now I'm putting the oil in it, and that oil is touching the av, it becomes a rishon, right? But if it becomes a rishon in any case, even if it only touches sheni, midrabanan, then what's the point? Therefore, it must be that he thinks that it transmits midoraita, because that's why it would make any difference, the fact that this shilishi touched a lamp that was an av, and now became rishon midoraita, and anything it touches will also be midoraita. Okay, so therefore, we can conclude that Rabbi Akiva thinks that liquids transmit midoraita. All right, hope that was clear. All right, now finally, we're going to get to the end, the last part of the Mishnah. When the Bimeir says that we can derive that you can burn Tameh Tirumah with Tahor Tirumah, and you can put them all together, right? That's what Rabbi Meir said. Who is he learning it from? Is he learning it from Rabbi Chanina, Segan HaKohanim? Or is he learning from the second case of Rabbi Akiva? Ilema midibi Rabbi Chanina, Segan HaKohanim, midameh, hatam tameh v'tameh, hacha tahor v'tameh. So it's not the same, because Rabbi Chanina was talking about two levels of Tumah, right? One and three. And you put them together, so that's okay, but they're all tameh. But here you're talking about tahor tirumah and tameh tirumah, that's not the same. Elam dibir bi'akiba, midameh, hatam pasul v'tameh, hacha tahor v'tameh. Rabbi Akiva was talking about something that was a lowest level, no, the pasul, and tameh, but they're both tameh. And here you're talking about, again, tahor and tameh, tiduma putting together. So it's not the same. So how can we derive this from that? So what was Rabbi Meir thinking? And Mishnah itself asked this question, but now we're going to try to figure out for ourselves what he said. So rather, it must be that he must interpret the Mishnah that's talking about levels of levels midoraita and rabbanan. So when we said that the avatuma touched something, touched avatuma, that was doraita, right? That was one piece of meat touched something midoraita and became a rishon doraita. The other piece of meat touched something that was vlad, but that was only midrabbanan. So the Mishnah, Rabbi Chanina, is saying that you're allowed to take something that's a rishon midoraita and put it together with something that's a shilishi midrabbanan. And so if I can mix that, well, that means at the doraita level, I'm actually mixing something that's tahor with something that's midoraita tameh with something that's midoraita tahor. So you see that you are allowed, in fact, to mix together tum'ah and tahara. That's doraita. And therefore, that's how he learns from Rabbi Chanina that tiruma as well. If you have something that's tiruma, doraita tahor, and doraita tameh, those also can be mixed together, and that's how he derives that law. Hope that was clear. And it's just, you know, as some last reflection, it's really amazing all these very, very complicated laws that observant Jews kept every day, and really everything they touched and they ate, they had to think about. This is a whole area of halakha that has become almost irrelevant today. So whenever someone complains and says, halakha is too difficult, you just teach them these laws and then they'll appreciate. We'll see one day if we have to come back to it when we come back to do Korban Pesach. Baruch Adonai L'olam. Amen v'amen.